Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everybody to the call and thank you for taking the time out of your day to worship with us if you're visiting, and let you know that you are an important part of what we do. At least a portion of what I will do while we're on this call is explain to you how you too can become a Christian. You'll probably notice some things that part of our worship service is a little different. One, the preacher at the Church of Christ is not called Reverend. That's because in Psalm 1, verse 111, verse 9, holy and reverend is God's name. I will be calling nobody reverend except him. You'll notice that no women have participated in this worship service. That's because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, and 1 Timothy 2:12, women are to be silent in church. We're also a gospel preaching church. We do believe in preaching the gospel and that salvation is obtained through the preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the end of that message, you're willing to confess with your heart, confess with your mouth what your heart has been made to believe, will baptize you in water for the remission of your sins, according to Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. In response to that, God will add you to his church, Acts 2 and 47, the one church, the only one you can read about in the Bible, Ephesians 4, 4, the church of Christ. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'd like to share with you for just a brief few minutes on the subject of for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Just kind of a little history of the sermon. There's a book that's called The 25 Biblical Laws of Success by William Douglas and Reuben Teixeira. And it's a book that I've been reading. I've read several portions of. And now I'm going back to it and going back through it and looking at ways that I can make this applicable to not just my life, but everyone that I encounter. This particular sermon is from the biblical law of self-control. Proverbs verses 16, chapter 16, verse number 32. One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one who rules his spirit than one who captures a city. You can also find many of the tenets of self-control in James chapter 1 and verses 12 through 21. I won't read that, but you can read it at your leisure. But the first thing we want to take a look at is what is rules your spirit, as it's mentioned in Proverbs 16:32, rules your spirit. In other words, what is self-control? By definition, it's the ability to control one's emotions and desires or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. And learning to control, it's learning to control your mind, your body, your time, and your emotions. One time we think of self-control is when we think about dieting or eating, what's good for you, as opposed to what's good to you. Are you going to have a salad and a Diet Coke, or are you going to have a fistful of Oreos and some other soft drink? Or are you going to put your health at risk? But in my few minutes today, we want to look at some other type of behavior, things that if you don't exercise discipline over them, you can jeopardize your very soul. For instance, one example of that is how we use credit, being a slave to debt, the language we use. Some folks do whatever they big and bad enough to get away with. Some do well with self-control right up until they get around certain people, which is why the Bible tells in Galatians, if someone is overtaken by a fault, you restore such a one with yourself in mind so that you don't get caught up in the same things. So the first thing we as Christians, one of the things we have to do as Christians is we must demonstrate a mastery of self. Not doing so can jeopardize your soul. If you can't control yourself, then how are you going to be able to help anybody else? You know, when I think of that, I think of like when you're on an airplane, they tell you to put your mask on first before you help the elderly or before you help a child that's with you. This is the same type of thing. Get control of what you need in your life and what affects you before you look out and try to help somebody else, before you can help somebody else. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's look at the Apostle Paul's example for us. Let's begin. We are looking at First Corinthians chapter 9. So let's look at, we'll begin with verse number 19. For though I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain more. Paul says to the Corinthians church that he used self-denial in order that he might gain souls. He was willing to become the servant of all and to deny himself all things to serve God's purpose. Verse number 20. To the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might gain Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, so that I might gain those who are under the law. With the Jews, he lived as a Jew in order to reach them. He observed their distinctions of meats. He kept feasts. He circumcised Timothy. He observed the law to reach those who kept the law. Today, we can do the same thing. You know, you're at work, or you're at school, or you wherever it is that you go when you're not at the Lord's house. We all get invitations to other people's churches. Can you come to this friends and family day at such and such denominational church? Or it's our pastor's anniversary. Can you come? Can you come? Accept those invitations. By all means, accept those invitations. You do it conditionally. I'll come to your service if you'll come to mine. I'll come to this event that you're having if you'll come to this event with me. See, you want to make sure for two reasons that you do that. One is you want to be aware of how to defend the faith. If you don't know what's going on, you don't know how to defend it against it, how you can use scripture to support your own personal faith. And the second reason that you do it is so that you can win their soul, so that you can bring them, so you can have that relationship that you built with that person to bring them to the Lord's truth. Let's look at verse number 21. To those who are without the law, I became as one without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. In the sight of God, he kept his law. He did not sin, just to win souls. In Titus 2, verse 7, it says, in all things show yourself to be a good example, to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Another thing Paul avoided was he did not come as an enforcer of the law of Moses. We can't browbeat people into the church. You can't compete. We also can't compete with low demand theology. If all of the faith that a person comes from says all you have to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior and then live any way you want to right up until death, we can't compete with that because that's not consistent with the Bible, and it's not what we're teaching is not going to be as easy as what they have in front of them. So we have to win souls with love and integrity. Save the soul right where they are spiritually. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19 and what they has been called the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even until the end of the world. Amen. First thing is, to get them into the church, you have to teach them certain things. According to this verse, you go therefore and teach all nations, and then you baptize them. Now, after you've baptized them, after they become a member, after they've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, then there's a second teaching. So you want to save them right where they are. You don't have to worry about them understanding every intricacy of the Bible because there is that second teaching. At Highland Heights, we have something called the First Principles class so that you can learn the things that you need to do to build a foundation as a sound Christian. Now, Paul spoke to the Gentiles from a Gentile standpoint. Now, you should not neglect your own. Now, I want to be clear now. When I mentioned about going to denominational churches or going out to someone else's church in order to visit them, that doesn't mean you should neglect your own worship in order to attend one. It means that you need to, that is a condition. Me, when I've been put in that situation, when I've done that so myself, I'm going to go to my church first. I'm going to go and worship according to the scripture first. Then I can visit your church. If it's a Saturday or Friday or something like that and they're having some event, that's different. But if it's a Sunday, don't neglect worship service in order to do that. But what you do want to do is make sure that you have submitted your worship service to the Lord, and then you can go and do what else you need to do to try to win souls for God. Let's look at verse number 22. To the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may by all means save some. Become all things to all people doesn't mean to get drunk to save drunkards. It doesn't mean to be promiscuous to save fornicators. It does mean that what you need to do is share the gospel with everybody. Don't let their behavior influence yours. In Luke chapter 19, Christ came to seek and save the lost. We must get outside of the four walls of the church building if we're going to save souls. Brother Stroud mentioned today at the end of worship service about the house-to-house evangelism that's taught by Brother Rob Whitaker and his personal Bible study that he espouses. One of the reasons he gives that we've gotten away from these personal Bible studies is because we have a fear. And the fear is that we believe that it's not going to work. So what we have to do, Christians, what we have to do, brothers and sisters, we must get outside of our comfort zone. We have to stop being afraid. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And most of all, we must stop being discouraged. Let's look at verse number 23. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. There's my title. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker in it. Paul says he did it so he could receive the promises that he's telling everybody else about. He's doing it so that he can receive the same thing that he's offering to everybody else. Verse number 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. In other words, run like a winner in such a way as to get the prize. What is the prize? Eternal life in heaven. To be able to see the city with the street of gold, the wall of jasper, and the gates of pearl. You have to do things the right way to win. See, you got to go the prescribed distance. You can't run a race that's 27 miles long. You run 20 and say you finish. As Christians, our race, we are required to share God's truth with others for life. Our race distance is life. Doesn't mean we have to win every soul we encounter, but it does mean we must share it. We must share it and trust God to give the increase. We cannot, brothers and sisters, we can't quit before the finish line. Verse number 25 reads, everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. So they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. In other words, they make sacrifices. They go into strict training. I know in boxing, one of the things that you're asked to do is you have to abstain from sex. You want to make sure that you're not smoking, drinking, staying up late, not getting enough rest. you're not doing all the things that you have to do to be successful. And that's the same thing you have to do as a Christian. The Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, Olympians compete for a perishable prize. Now they get gold medals. Back then they had laurel wreaths that they got at the Olympic Games. But our prize is everlasting life, a mansion, a robe, and an indelible crown in a place where the gates are pearl, the walls of jasper, and the street is made of gold. Verse number 26 says, therefore I run in such a way as not to run aimlessly. I box in such a way as to avoid hidden air. Paul says to have faith and trust, not wander around like you have no purpose, just wasting your life. That's the same as shadow boxing. You're in the ring, the bell's rung, the referee's waiting in y'all to fight, you standing in the corner shadow boxing, but you're back to your opponent. Behave in an intelligent and a directed way. That's self-control. Verse number 27 says, but I strictly discipline my body, and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That's what I just shared with you from Galatians 6:1. Don't you get caught up. Don't get so far out there trying to be all things to all people that you slip and fall. That's what you have to avoid. That's why it's important to control self. Take control of yourself and exercise self-control. Do it so that you don't get disqualified for your pride. We ought to be vigilant, watchful, attentive, and alert. Behave like you know God is watching, because he is. Look for your opportunities. They're there. The opportunities to invite people to worship service are there. Whether it's the grocery store, whether it's your neighbors, whether it's at your child's sporting event, whether it's when you go to open house at your child's school, there are opportunities for you to share God's truth, or at least extend an invitation. It's not yours to worry about whether they accept it or not. It's not yours to worry about when they come if they are baptized. It's not yours to worry about if the word of God has reached them. It's just your job to make sure that you invite. Once they come, let God do his part. Another thing you have to do is, if first you don't succeed, try and try again. Brother Whitaker, in his workshop that I attended with Brother Stroud, he did a great job of giving about 10 good examples of people who he had been told directly, oh, brother, you new here, don't worry about them over there across the street, man, you ain't never going to win them. Or, brother, one example he gave of a sister who had been baptized. Her husband was a member of the church, and she became baptized, and her parents were leaders. Her dad was a deacon, her mother was a leader in a denominational church, and he was invited to have a Bible study with those people. And over the course of a period of time, he was able to win their souls to Christ. It's about diligence. It's about perseverance. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. I've spoken to you about who now? You. I've spoken to you about when. Now. I've told you how. And I've told you where we ought to do it. Now let's spend another few minutes, the rest of our time, on what we ought to do. If you're not a member of the church, if you're not a Christian, and you're on this call, if you've not been baptized, if you have been baptized, but you weren't baptized, but you did not become a member of the Church of Christ through that baptism, we may be saying some things that it's the first time that you've heard them. I understand that. They're in your Bible too, they're not just in mine. But what's important is that the things that are in the Bible tell you exactly how to get that right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. In that particular scripture, they tell you that is something specific that must be taught in order for you to be saved, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. First of all, he tells them, this gospel that I'm preaching to you, this gospel that I'm delivering to you is not mine. He said, she had to receive it too, just like we do. Verse number 2 says, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So in other words, if it's been taught to you and you believe it, it's able to save you. But if it's been preached unto you and you don't listen to it, then you've believed in vain. Verse number 3 says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. That's the gospel story. The reason they give the evidence of the men seeing him afterward, because that proved he was the Son of God. That's the story that you ask to believe. Now, there's some other parts to it. You're going to have to make some changes in your life. Where your life does not line up with the Bible, you're asked to change and mirror what you can find an example of in the book. And that's called repentance. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5 tell you, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you're asked to make a confession. A confession that you believe that story. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Make no mistake about it. If you have the opportunity today, which you do, to be baptized, to make a difference in your own personal life, to accept what Jesus has to offer for your life, that if you choose not to do that, because that's the only way that you won't, is that you make the conscious choice, I'm just not going to do it, I'm going to wait, then you're denying him. And Christ has already told you what the consequences of that is. But if you are willing to make that confession, and we hope so very much that you are willing, then we're going to baptize you in water, just like they did in Acts chapter 2. After they had murdered Jesus, and Peter was preaching to them on the day of Pentecost, he said, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you're on this call this evening, and you know that you're not a member of the church, if you've never been a member of any church, if you're not a Christian, we want to offer you this opportunity. If you get back with the person that's invited you to this call, we'll be happy to make arrangements to get you baptized today. It's not too much trouble, and there's always time. If you're on this call and you're not in the city of Houston, and we can't take you to Highland Heights to have you baptized, we certainly can make arrangements in the city wherever you are to make sure that we can get you baptized today. So if you stand subject to the Savior's invitation, I encourage you to make it known at the appropriate time as we submit to a song.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.